This is the station you turn to first for live team coverage of breaking news. 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 6 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. We have a clear sky now and 73 degrees. Search teams continue to work in South Central Texas, where at least 120 people are dead and more than 160 are missing because of flash flooding as residents hold a vigil for the victims. Fox's Mike Tobin has more from Kerrville, Texas.
The community around Kerr County here came together. They packed the local football stadium at the local high school with a prayer vigil. They called it the Kerr County Blessing. The volunteers and staff working to bring victims home total more than 2,000 in this area, just in this county alone. They include searchers with TexAR, Texas Search and Rescue, the Cajun Navy as well. Governor Greg Abbott has added four flood-related items to the upcoming special session of the Texas legislature. They include flood relief funding, communications, emergency communications equipment, and, of course, an early warning system.
Local leaders had reportedly proposed a flood warning system before, but it was never built because of the high costs. Sedgwick County Commissioners got a look at their proposed budget for 2026.
Lori and Showalter Airy, Sedgwick County Budget Director, outlined next year's budget.
The maximum proposed budget is $593,553,400 to be funded with a tax levy of $210,524,468 based on a mill levy rate of 27.881 mills, a decrease of 0.82 mills from our final 2025 rate.
The budget would add 20 additional positions for 911 while also decreasing crime prevention funds and cultural arts by $560,000. It would also cut funding to KTPS by $80,000. Public hearings will be held on July 30th at 6 p.m. and finally on August 20th when the budget is adopted. Rodney Price, KNSS News.
New data from the Kansas Department of Health and Environment suggests the measles outbreak has ended in five Kansas counties.
Officials say the areas have gone for more than 42 days without a new case. However, the outbreak continues in at least four counties with active outbreaks, and the virus continues to spread into other parts of the state. Since Monday, four new cases have been reported, bringing the statewide total to 87 cases so far in 25. Most of the cases have been concentrated in southwest Kansas, affecting young children the hardest, especially those under the age of five who have the highest infection rate. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
A man has been charged in Sedgwick County District Court with murder in the beating death of another man July 4th in northeast Wichita. 33-year-old Eduardo Diaz-Yobal appeared in court Wednesday and was charged with one count of first-degree murder. The alleged assault took place in the 3,000 block of North Fairview. A caller told police they saw a man attacking another man, later identified as 43-year-old Cesar Gonzalez, who died. Yobal was later identified and taken into custody. Bond was set at $1 million. An industrial tunnel in the Wilmington neighborhood in Los Angeles collapsed last night with workers still inside.
All 31 people that were trapped underground have since been pulled out and have been rescued. More than 100 LA firefighters were here, including the urban search and rescue team. Now, this is part of the Clearwater Tunnel Project. It's a project where they're basically digging a sewage tunnel from here in Wilmington all the way to the ocean, replacing the previous tunnel. And somewhere between where they went underground and out in that giant tunnel, about 5 miles away, is where that collapse took place in Wilmington. Matthew Seedorf, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 6:04, 4 minutes past 6 o'clock. KNSS News Time now, 6:07, 7 minutes past 6 o'clock. Dr. Steve Noble has been selected as the district's new chief operating officer for Wichita Public Schools. Dr. Noble will work with Superintendent Kelly Bielefeld to provide strategic leadership and executive oversight of district operations. Dr. Noble previously served as superintendent in Seaman and Durman Hillsboro Lehigh School Districts, assistant superintendent in Haven School District, and most recently director of business development at Mammoth Sports Construction, LLC. At least one child was killed and four others injured after a tree branch fell on them at a summer camp northwest of Los Angeles. Fox's Ed Laskos reports from Calabasas.
The huge oak tree and one of its huge branches breaking off, crashing down into the area by a picnic table where we're told the five victims underneath that area. This branch, huge branch, comes crashing down. One small child dies, but then a dramatic attempt and rescue operation as they airlift another young child to the UCLA Ronald Reagan Medical Center from the Mountains Recreation and Conservation Authority. Quote, "We are devastated by the tragic loss of a young child at the summer camp at King Gillette Ranch in the Santa Monica Mountains. Words cannot express the depth of our sorrow."
Former White House physician Dr. Kevin O'Connor refused to answer questions from the House Oversight Committee as it investigates former President Joe Biden's use of the auto pen. Fox's Chad Pergram on Capitol Hill has the story.
Appearing after the House Oversight Committee issued a subpoena, Dr. Kevin O'Connor deployed the Fifth Amendment as a shield, refusing to answer if he was asked to lie about the former president's health or if Biden was fit for office. Jasmine Crockett of Texas was the only Democrat in the room for the deposition.
You have the right to confidentiality when it comes to your health care.
O'Connor's attorneys say using the fifth quote does not imply that Dr. O'Connor has committed any crime. His counsel also says that doctor-patient confidentiality require that Dr. O'Connor refuse to testify.
Republicans allege a group of aides took advantage of and covered up former President Biden's mental decline. A shocking fall from grace for an American gold medal Olympic athlete.
Police in West Virginia have released body cam footage of the May arrest of former USA Gymnastics icon Mary Lou Retton. Retton, appearing disheveled and on oxygen, was in a state of disbelief after failing a series of field sobriety tests following a traffic stop.
No!
Yeah, you're under arrest.
This is not...
No, I'm not!
And the meltdown continued after cops slapped the cuffs on her.
Oh, my God!
Gia!
They think I'm drunk.
Retton's attorney later issued a statement in which Retton admitted to driving under the influence and apologized. She pleaded no contest. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 6:10, 10 minutes past 6 o'clock.
We have a traffic accident that you'll want to watch out for. This is K96, and it's just northwest of the city of Mays. 119th Street is right there, so 119th and K96, of course, there actually isn't on and off there, but just something to watch out for as you're driving. An accident there on K96 at 119th West. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS and the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Chad Chambers.
Now the forecast with Storm Team 12 meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Becoming mostly sunny, breezy, and hot today. South winds 15 to 25 and gusty. High 96. Heat index, though, up to 102. Could see a stray shower or storm tonight. Otherwise, mostly cloudy. Overnight low 75. 93 on Friday with breezy conditions and likely storms during the afternoon or evening. Some of those could be severe. Mostly cloudy and much cooler on Saturday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
And now a few clouds, a southeast wind at 8 miles per hour, 74 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 6:12 on this Thursday, July 10th. And, of course, we had another hot, muggy day across south central Kansas Wednesday. Wichita's high yesterday, 93 degrees, normal high, 92. Ted, it doesn't say what the heat index could have been. Do you know, have any idea? You were knocking around in the afternoon there a little bit. Did you keep track of that at all? Or?
No, I was looking at the temperature, okay. I guess.
I went for a walk, and there was a little breeze. It was kind of warm, but didn't do too bad. But the 93 for high yesterday.
Kind of warm, yeah. 93.
Wichita rainfall is currently more than 5 inches above normal for this time of year. That's some good news there. Looking at your weather history today, again, this is July 10th on this date. In 1913, Furnace Creek Ranch, located in Death Valley, California, was definitely a furnace when it reached a broiling 134 degrees. This was not only a national record, but a world record as well. The all-time record high temperatures in Kansas history Kansas history now, our state, are both 121 degrees, set in Fredonia on July 18th, 1936, and in Alton, Kansas on July 24th, 1936.
Yeah, just a few days later.
Man. 1936 was a tough year.
It was
weather-wise.
Pretty bad.
Tough, tough year.
People didn't have air conditioning.
Nope. 6:13 now, Steve and Ted in the morning, and it was on this date 100 years ago, 1925, the Scopes monkey trial began in Dayton, Tennessee.
Trial of the century.
John Scopes eventually found guilty of teaching evolution at a public school and fined $100. And they made a pretty good movie out of it, I would
great
say.
Great play, great movie.
The two of the greatest actors of our time, too, on that in that movie.
It's one of my favorite movies, directed by Stanley Kramer, Inherit the Wind.
It is. It's really, if you got it, it makes you think. It really does.
Oh, anyway. And then 70 years after that, Kansas was debating evolutionary standards. So we came a long way.
Yeah. We're catching up, I guess. An anti-government, this is interesting, out of Oklahoma this morning, an anti-government militia called Veterans on Patrol told News 9 in Oklahoma City television station that it is targeting Oklahoma weather radars. Days after an individual vandalized News 9's weather radar, suspect in the vandalism was arrested by Oklahoma City police. So the group, which the Southern Poverty Law Center called an anti-government militia, shared with 9 News that they believe weather radars control the weather. A sign posted near an Oklahoma weather radar warns that Doppler radars are being targeted. So now we know the source.
We need to notify Ross Jansen there. At,
you guys are in control of the weather.
Channel 12, that we better watch out for his Doppler radar.
Yeah, that's a lot of responsibility to have control of weather with your Doppler.
May the weather dog to be on patrol.
I'm not sure that's a dog. It could be some sort of being from outer space. Canada. Police in British Columbia say there was a literal traffic jam on a highway when a pickup truck lost its load of freshly picked blueberries.
Blueberries on the roadway.
Yeah. The Mission RCMP says on social media that a white Ford pickup truck stopped at an intersection, and when the vehicle started moving again, moments later, several crates of freshly picked blueberries fell into the roadway, and then the Mounties had to come out, I guess, and clean it up. There you go. Blueberries in the roadway. 6:16, Steve and Ted, and we're giving away 5 pairs of tickets to Margaritaville Night at the Windsurge game this Saturday at Equity Bank Park. It's real easy. You text the word Surge, S-U-R-G-E, to the short code 20357 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to Margaritaville Night this Saturday. Message and data rate apply. Kansas News.
I believe this is the final day to enter, so you better do it.
Thursday is the final day?
I think today's the final day, and we announce the winner tomorrow.
That is correct.
All right. Well, there you go.
This is your last day. If you want those free tickets for Saturday, do it today.
Good idea. 6:16 now, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. Let's take a look at leadoff sports this morning with Ted Woodward, sir.
All right, we will start with Major League Baseball. The Kansas City Royals at home at Kauffman Stadium last night, going for a 3-game sweep over the last-place Pittsburgh Pirates. Another close game. And once again, like the night before, it was tied in the late going. Who would be the hero? Well, how about your Royals first baseman, Salvador Perez? You heard the game last night on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
First pitch is hammered to deep center field. Back goes Cruz, away back. And gone, Perez. Salvador Perez, second home run of the game, his third hit. He now has 13 home runs. And that was really odd because I just said Isaac Mattson was in the game last night, but not very long because he came on with the Royals in the bottom of the ninth, had 2 on, 1 out. And it was Mattson who served up the pitch that Lofton singled into left center to end the game. His first pitch tonight, Perez launches over the center field fence. So he has given up the lead to the Royals in his last 2 pitches. How odd is that?
And the Royals go on to win it 4-3 for the 3-game sweep.
Diddy.
The Royals have won six of their last seven. And 18,000 at the game last night on Salvador Perez bobblehead night. All right, so it's an off day today for the Royals as they enjoy coming off a very, very fine week. And they've got three more games at home before the All-Star breaks. Day off today for the Royals. Minor League Baseball last night downtown. The first place Wichita Wind Surge fall to San Antonio 6-4. 2,000 fans at the game at Equity Bank Park last night. Same two teams tonight. First place Wichita hosting the Missions at 7:05. Game six of a 9-game homestand. It's KU night downtown tonight. The first 2,000 fans get a KU Wind Surge hat.
Hey.
So you got baseball tonight downtown for the first place Wind Surge. Some sad news. Former Washburn basketball star Ryan Murphy passed away yesterday at the age of 45. High school star at Circle High School in Towanda, where he was the Class 4A Player of the Year. Went on to a great college career at Washburn in the late 90s into the early 2000s. He is in the Washburn Athletics Hall of Fame, third all-time for the Ichabods in points, fourth all-time for the Ichabods in rebounds. And he was on three NCAA tournament teams, including the team in 2001 that was national runner-up. Big 6'6" forward from Benton, Kansas, Ryan Murphy, great basketball star at Washburn, passed away at the age of 45. Back to Major League Baseball last night. The first-place Philadelphia Phillies win on the road in San Francisco. Boy, did they. Shut out the Giants 13-0. Batting cleanup for the Phillies at first base, former Wichita State Shocker Alec Bohm. He was 3-for-5 on base last night. Alec has a .387 on-base percentage here in the month of July. Back in the win column for the first-place Phillies after back-to-back losses. And one of our great sports birthdays of the year. In fact, it's so good that we're going to talk about him in every sportscast this morning because there's so much to talk about. Hal McRae.
Oh, yeah.
The former Kansas City Royals outfielder star. Now, yesterday we had Willie Wilson of the Royals turning 70. Today we have Hal McRae turning 80. Yeah.
Wow.
19 years in the big leagues, 4 years with the Reds, and then 15 years with the Royals. We go back to the offseason before the 1969 baseball season. Hal McRae was playing winter ball in Puerto Rico. Suffered a multiple leg fracture sliding on the base paths. Bill James from the Historical Baseball Abstract said, quote, before the accident, McRae was a burner, a center fielder who could fly. After the accident, his speed was major league average. He was considered below average as an outfielder with the Reds. In that spring, McRae came into the Reds camp with his leg still in a cast from that fracture. In that same offseason, St. Louis Cardinals announcer Harry Carey had suffered multiple fractures after he was hit by a car as he was a pedestrian. So during a Reds-Cardinals preseason game where Harry Carey was interviewing ballplayers on the field, still on crutches, the manager of the Reds, Dave Bristol, pointed at Harry Carey and said to Hal McRae, look at that. There's an old man. Broke two legs. Broke his shoulder. Broke his everything. And here he is walking around doing his job, doing anything he wants. Here you are. All you did was break your leg sliding into second base, and you can't get your leg out of your GD cast. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Okay. Thanks, Skipper.
Yeah. Hal McRae later mentioned to Harry Carey that that was one of the best motivational speeches
really?
I'd ever heard. He says, I learned that I had to want to recover before really being able to. So it was harsh, especially by today's standards, but with Hal McRae, it worked. It got him going again.
He did have always had a kind of a funky walk, I thought. Maybe it was because of that broken leg. That he
yeah.
Had.
And then later in his career, one of his teammates with the Royals, the pitcher Dan Quisenberry, said whenever a Royals player took time off because of an injury, McRae got dressed like a commando, hid in a trash can in the clubhouse, and then jumped out and pretends to shoot the guy. McRae believes that if a guy is hurt and can't play, he's dead to the club, so McRae shoots and kills him.
Whoa.
Boy, talk about some old school antics. Oh, my.
Oh, brother.
All right. It's Hal McRae's birthday, the former Royal. He is 80 today. We've got more Hal McRae stories
wow.
to come in
okay.
Sportscast throughout the day, so tune in for that. Hey, sports is brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company with locations east, west, and historic Delano, featuring a rooftop deck at that location. Nice. Wichita Brewing Company. It's really tasty. It's pizza and beer made here.
All right. Keep it here for Dr. Sanjay Gupta. Small changes in your diet can have a big impact. That's coming up with Steve at 10 in the morning on KNSS.
Nationally recognized Marconi awarded radio show. This is Stephen Tad on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward. 6:30 here on this Thursday morning and 74 degrees. A man has been charged following the death of his 2-year-old stepson.
32-year-old Sean Lewis was in court Wednesday and was charged with first-degree murder along with one count of child abuse. 2-year-old John Landon Delano died on July 3rd after being hospitalized with severe injuries from what Lewis claimed to have been a fall. However, investigators said the explanation did not match the extent or nature of the boy's injuries. Lewis was arrested last week after the child was admitted to the hospital. He's being held on a $2 million bond. His next court appearance is scheduled for July 21st. Phil Hildebrand, KNSS News.
Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe signed a bill yesterday enacting changes to elementary and secondary education, including a mandate for students' use of personal electronic devices. The bill requires all school districts and charter schools to implement a written policy banning students from using or displaying cell phones and other electronic devices throughout the school day. The bill says this includes during class, meals, breaks, and study hall.
Since the 4th of July weekend, several states have faced dangerous and deadly flooding.
In North Carolina, Tropical Storm Chantel brought on heavy rain. It caused communities like Chapel Hill, North Carolina, to see flooding around 5 feet in some spots. Many businesses and homes flooded, some roads washed out across the region, and several deaths were blamed on the storm's impacts. Right now, recovery is the focus, but weather isn't done with the Mid-Atlantic. The National Weather Service issued a level 3 out of 4 flood risk for the Piedmont and Sand Hills region of North Carolina, as heavy rain could cause flooding once again this Wednesday and Thursday. So think of those creeks and low-lying areas that are prone to flooding. For the latest information, download the Fox Weather app. In Chapel Hill, North Carolina, I'm Brandi Campbell for Fox Weather.
A teenager arrested following a wildfire in coastal Southern California.
The so-called Rancho Fire in Laguna Beach reached as large as 4 acres this week, luckily with no damage to structures. Police officers were able to obtain video evidence of what they describe as a juvenile suspect lighting a firework and then fleeing the scene. That 13-year-old boy was arrested on suspicion of setting off fireworks, which sparked the wildfire. The teen was released to his parents, but high heat and low humidity have added to the wildfire threat in parts of California where already a number of wildfires are burning. John Saucier, Fox News.
A United States Coast Guard rescue swimmer from New Jersey is being called a hero after rescuing nearly 200 people following flash floods in Central Texas over the 4th weekend.
Coast Guard rescue swimmer and petty officer Scott Ruskin directly saved 165 individuals during that devastating flooding in Central Texas. He told Fox News they were in the air when they spotted a crowd of about 200 kids at a campsite.
We made the decision to leave me there. We figured we'd be able to hoist more people out on our helicopter with me not on it, and then I'd be able to help out the scene at Camp Mystic a little bit better.
Ruskin credits the counselors and campers with doing well while facing such dangerous conditions.
Even as a professional rescuer, I was nervous about getting in the water. I can't imagine how 8, 9, 10-year-olds, like, these kids are heroic. Like, they need to get the credit they're getting that they need. They like, some of the camp counselors were saving lives before we even got there. So, I mean, without those guys, it would be a lot worse situation. It's still very tragic. But I think there definitely needs to be a lot of heroism praise to the survivors. They were saving themselves.
At least 27 campers and counselors at Camp Mystic lost their lives in the flooding. Meanwhile, search and rescue operations are ongoing with a full response from local, state, and national first responders. This Salute to Service is brought to you by the Odyssey Radio Group, proud to serve veterans and the Wichita community. We invite you to read more stories about veterans and active military on our webpage at knssradio.com. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
Now a look at the forecast with meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Becoming mostly sunny, breezy, and hot today. South winds 15 to 25 and gusty. High 96. Heat index, though, up to 102. Could see a stray shower or storm tonight. Otherwise, mostly cloudy. Overnight low 75. 93 on Friday with breezy conditions and likely storms during the afternoon or evening. Some of those could be severe. Mostly cloudy and much cooler on Saturday. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Now a few clouds, southeast wind at 8 miles per hour and 74 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Stephen Ted in the morning here on KNSS, and it was on this date, 61 years ago in 1964, the Beatles released their album A Hard Day's Night, which included their hits And I Love Her and Can't Buy Me Love.
It's a lot of good songs on that album.
1964. Man. Yeah, the Beatles, the British Invasion. Stephen Ted in the morning here on KNSS. Let's see here. Billboard stating, yes, I buy crack houses and your house is trash, I'll pay cash, have been appearing around Cleveland recently. Some neighbors say the messengers are offensive. Businessman John Williams put up the billboards and claims he is investing in these homes to improve neighborhoods. Apparently it's not wise to admit that you're buying a crack house. I don't know.
It is what it is.
Yeah, I don't know why they're offended. It's better than have somebody in there dealing crack. Maybe he's going to flip it, make it a better place. Climate change is causing extreme weather events to become more frequent and intense. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Climate Extreme Index shows a 58% increase in extreme weather events compared to the 1980s. People say, I often think, hey, aren't they more storms and aren't they bigger? But apparently some of them are. People tend to base their decisions on past experiences with extreme weather, so leads to a false sense of security, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric, NOAA. Okay. Surviving past extreme events can create overconfidence in individuals, preventing them from adequately preparing the future disasters. That's sounds like a theory to me. 6:38 now, Steve at 10 in the morning here on KNSS. And it's time to check in with Tom Leffler at the KNSS Commodities Update. Good morning, Tom.
Well, good morning, Steve and Ted. The upside, new record highs, and positive closes continued yesterday for the entire cattle complex. There was no doubt margin call caused part of our upside as they was exiting due to margin calls. The past five sessions, from the low to the high, August live cattle has gone up now $11.87, August feeder cattle $17.25. Now, there was more $225 cash being paid in Kansas yesterday, but we also heard 227 bids being passed on. Lean hog futures traded two-sided yesterday and closed positive. Now, last night, the USDA once again has closed the border to the entry of Mexican cattle into the U.S. due to detection of the New World screwworm in eastern Mexico, only 370 miles south of our border. At the close yesterday, August live cattle 20 cents lower, $2.1977. August feeder cattle $1.35 higher, $3.2047. And August lean hogs up 45 cents at $107.22. Now, Wednesday, the corn made new contract lows, and Kansas City wheat was within a half a penny of its contract low. The corn and the wheat closed slightly positive. The soybean complex was on the negative side, and there was also unwinding of soybean corn spreads yesterday. Now, at the moment, we have got upside. September Kansas City wheat, 9 cents higher, 533. December corn up a half a penny at 416. November beans up 3/4 of a penny at 1008. August crude oil, 57 cents lower, 67.82. August gold up $13.30 at 3,334.5. September S&P, 1.25 higher at 6,308.5. The September dollar index 3 cents lower at 97.16, and September Dow Jones futures 20 points lower at 44,699. For commodity trading or ag marketing or managed trading programs, contact Leffler Commodities on the phone or on the web by using 866 go to Tom.
Tom, where are we right now in Kansas in terms of what's going on with the wheat harvest? Where are we?
It's getting pretty well wrapped up.
Really?
We was, if I remember right, as of the first of the week here, 83% harvested, but we still have, you know, isolated areas that the ground's still too soft to carry a combine on, so it is keeping it from getting completed yet.
All right. But at least 80%, probably closer to 90% by now, huh?
Yes. We're behind what is normal, but it is getting finished, and we've had some dry weather here. It's really helped out, but it sounds like we have some more scattered showers in our forecast for the rest of the week.
Yeah, it could be some spotty rain coming in here tomorrow. How about that?
Okay. Yes, and maybe cooler temperatures. But
that'd be nice. All right, Tom, tech with you tomorrow. That's Tom Leffler of Leffler Commodities coming up. Don Grant, CFP, the Money Tracker, taking advantage of state taxes.
That's coming up. All right, even 10 in the morning here on KNSS.
Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS, 6:45 on a Thursday morning. Three big things.
Three.
New health department data shows a measles outbreak has ended in five Kansas counties.
Two.
Sedgwick County Commissioners got a look at proposed budget for next year. The plan includes a lower tax mill levy.
One.
Search and recovery continues after Texas flood. At least 120 dead and more than 160 missing. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Traffic getting a little bit back to normal after a traffic accident northwest of Mays. It was at 119th Street West and K96. We've actually still got a little bit of a backup there to watch out for as they're finishing clearing things out there, but just continue to watch that for the next several minutes. Traffic update from 98.7 at 1330 KNSS, the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jad Chambers.
Sunny today with a high of 94 degrees. Yesterday's high, 93. Partly cloudy tonight. The overnight low, 74. Friday, partly sunny, 20% chance for rain. And tomorrow's high, 92 degrees. Now, a few clouds, southeast wind at 8 miles per hour. 74 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. The rush is on to find a way to keep a popular social media app from being banned in the U.S.
Fox on Tech.
Will TikTok ever be banned? A law passed by Congress and signed by President Biden authorized a ban of the China-backed social media platform, citing national security concerns. The law stipulated that to avoid a ban, TikTok parent ByteDance needed to sell to U.S. operators. But President Trump has more than once extended that deadline, hoping to negotiate a different outcome for the youth-friendly social network that he often credits with helping him win the 2024 election. That deadline now stands at September 17th. Now, ByteDance says it will create a whole separate version of TikTok just for the U.S. audience, one that would operate apart from the global version and use its own algorithms. The company plans a September 5th launch, and users will need to use a new app. The Prime TikTok service would then be cut off from U.S. users by March of next year. With Fox on Tech, I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.
Boeing stock finished up during a record-setting day on Wall Street.
Stocks ending higher with the Nasdaq closing at a record high despite ongoing uncertainty about U.S. trade policies. Minutes from the Fed's June meeting were released and show that policymakers largely held a wait-and-see stance on future rate cuts. And NVIDIA's record rally hitting a milestone, shares of the chip-making giant rose nearly 2% and lifting the AI darling to become the first U.S. company in history to hit a $4 trillion valuation. The Dow winners, Microsoft, Caterpillar, and Boeing. The Dow decliners, United Health Group, Salesforce, and Honeywell. The Dow rising 218 points, the Nasdaq higher by 193, S&P 500 up 38. Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Taking advantage of state taxes, Don Grant, CFP, the Money Tracker, with us this morning as always. Good morning, Don.
Well, good morning, Steve and Ted. You know, a Kansas couple, 3 years from retirement, are weighing whether to change their residency to Colorado, where they have a second home with no mortgage. They paid for it years ago. Should they become Colorado residents? Will it be to their advantage? Well, I looked at different sources, including the Bureau of Economic Analysis, Bureau of Labor Statistics and the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. I learned the average life expectancy for Americans age 65 is almost 20 years. So they live to be an average 85. The average American will spend just under $1 million from age 65 on. For Colorado, the cost of living is 3.2% more than the national average. Statistics place estimated total retirement spending at the ninth highest, requiring about $1.2 million in savings to live comfortably for 20 years. In Colorado, Social Security benefits are fully deductible for those 65 and older, and they offer a retirement deduction of $24,000 for those 65 plus. Pensions are partially taxable. The average effective property tax rate in Colorado is less than 0.5%, and that's among the lowest in the country. Kansas goods and services are about 10% less expensive than they are on average. That's in Kansas nationwide. Now, using the same metrics, Kansas retirees will need about $1 million for 20 years in retirement, so about $200,000 less than Colorado. Kansas does not tax Social Security benefits at any age. Public pensions are tax exempt. Private are not tax exempt. Property taxes on average are about 1.3%. That's more than twice what it is in Colorado. Personal property taxes on vehicles is disproportionately high in Kansas. And after a thorough look, the couple has decided to change their residency to Colorado, where they retire. It's not just the expenses. Now, since their properties are paid for, taxes are much less than their home and their vehicles here. Income taxes are about the same, and they are attracted to the topography and to the active lifestyle that is offered in Colorado. Not that you can't find a lot of that here. But their research showed better health care options for them if they move to Colorado. So just letting you know some of the process that we go through when we're helping people determine what they're going to do in retirement. And, of course, if you have any questions, you can give me a call over at Sabre Wealth. The number is 316-267-0600.
All right. Today is National Pina Colada Day.
Oh.
A frosty and delightfully creamy concoction of pineapple, rum, and coconut cream. The pina colada was first created in Puerto Rico in 1954, as you're well aware, Don.
Oh, yes.
Although its history is contested among Puerto Ricans, it is rumored that the bartender Ramon Monchito Marrero first prepared it at the Caribe Litton Hilton's Beachcomber Bar in San Juan, Puerto Rico, on August 16th, 1954.
And don't forget the spear of pineapple with an umbrella made in China sticking out of it.
Yep, the umbrella's made in China.
Yes.
National Pina Colada Day.
Wow. Do you like pina coladas?
Oh, yeah. I can.
You like walks in the rain?
Take them.
I don't like pina.
Go ahead, Ted. Do the whole song.
No. I don't want to sing.
Well, Ted, are you a pina colada fan?
I guess not, because it's not something that seems to be on my radar very
yeah.
much.
Okay. When you go out and have a, when you think of going out and have a cocktail, it's not necessarily pina colada
not
coming to your mind.
Not necessarily, no.
Well, I feel like when
be
I.
More of a gin and tonic, vodka and tonic.
There you go. There you go. Well, but when in that kind of atmosphere, like if I see a palapa and I'm on a beach or something.
A palapa.
A palapa. That's one of those. That's one of those umbrellas made out of palm fronds.
Yeah,
you know, nice. They hang them up to protect you from the rain.
Sounds
you know?
Like kind of a shapely female to me. A palapa?
No, that's a palapo.
Oh,
yeah. A is feminine, masculine. O is yeah, gotcha. Palapo. Or that's what it sounds like when I jump off the diving board.
Yeah, palapo. Palapo.
Yeah. But no, if I'm in the atmosphere, every once in a while, I will think of a pina colada. Oh, sure. If I'm in the Caribbean or something, you know.
What the heck? You know, I like mojitos.
All right, Mac. I know you're always moaning about not being able to get a mojito here in town.
Yeah.
I was at Bacato last night in Old Town Square, and they have several mojitos offered on the drink menu.
You know, I had one the other night someplace. I can't remember where it was. Yeah, they have actually had mint.
Yeah, you got to have that. You got to have that muddled.
Where's this place you were? That sounds kind of exotic. What was the name of it?
Bacato.
Bacato. Never been
Old
there.
Old Town Square.
Oh yeah, that's a place next to the little, just down the street from Sabor.
That's correct.
Just like two doors down.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a neat little place.
Oh, it's tasty.
Yeah, hey, we had a good little dinner there.
I wasn't even getting mojitos there.
Get mojitos. All right.
Yeah. You notice how we moved? We're just so well-versed in alcohol. We could talk about this all day long.
Sure could.
Let's talk about wine.
No, we got Guy Bauer doing that on the weekends. Okay. So.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, with you. Don Grant. CFP.
I live it. He all talks about it. I live it.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. 6:55, Steve and Ted coming up 7 o'clock, top of the hour news this morning. Search for bodies continues in Texas. We've got that story. A man accused in a Wichita homicide appears in court. Those stories and more on the way. Steve is Head of the Morning here on KNSS.
Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra IS. Saber Wealth is not affiliated with Kestra IS or Kestra AS.